This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, the Bolts start the new year right. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 28 of the Bolts broadcast, Mike Mitchelson and Chase Croshaw with you today. Chase, how you doing on this lovely Wednesday evening?
I'm definitely hanging in there, I guess. How are you?
I don't know. I'm twofold right now because I'm pumped for a little USA-Canada coming up tonight. Pumped for a little Tampa-Chicago. But at the same time, I've been fasting for 24 hours, and I know what you're thinking. Man, Mike, a new resolution? That's awesome. Great job. No. I just haven't been able to eat today.
Not great.
And I'm hungry.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think it's good, but I had Chick-fil-A.
I mean, that, yeah, sure, that makes me feel better.
Why okay, not? Good. It was very good.
Oh, I had it last night. So good. Dude, so good.
I haven't had it in, like, weeks. So to get it after my torturous events from today, it helped me feel a little better.
Chick-fil-A should sponsor the Bolts broadcast.
That's what I'm saying. Been saying it for years, decades even.
Like, what a dream come true. Just give me a spicy chicken sandwich, some waffle fries.
What do they like put in the waffle fries? Because, like, I'm not even a huge potato guy. Like, I like fries, like some mashed potatoes, but like baked potato type stuff, you know, don't really do. I just potatoes in general, like they're good, not unreal, but then a couple things are just very good, and then waffle fries from Chick-fil-A are just otherworldly. Like what the hell do they do to them?
The first 2-3 times I had waffle fries, I thought, yeah, this is, it's a fry. I didn't really think much of it. Still thought McDonald's were better. The more and more I have Chick-fil-A waffle fries, the more and more I think they're the best fries to ever grace the universe.
Absolutely, 100%.
And that paired with the Chick-fil-A sauce, so good.
It's the first thing I eat before. Like, I eat all my fries before I get into my sandwiches.
Absolutely. I mean, the little pouches keep the sandwiches so warm. It makes sense.
Exactly. I might as well eat those before they get cold.
Exactly. Well, we hope you had a great new year. As you know, we went on a little bit of a break. That's all Chase's fault. You can blame him for that.
Yep, definitely all mine for making Mike go to Colorado and not bring his equipment anywhere.
Colorado's pretty sick, can't lie. And then I did get sick one night because I didn't have enough fluids in me. And when you're 9,000 feet above sea level, that's what happens. But pretty good time.
God, I'm yawning. Sorry. Happy to hear that, though.
How was your holidays, Chase?
You're still yawning.
Oh, my gosh.
A little tired. The pain meds get me. It's in case you guys haven't realized. Today was a battle for Chase, but nonetheless, the holidays were good. New Year's was definitely an event. My family, we celebrate Christmas, and Christmas was, it was good. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. Good seeing friends, family. Ate, hell of a lot of Christmas cookies, desserts. It was very good. It was nice and relaxing. Didn't really have much going on with my team, so I was able to kind of get 2 weeks to just kind of reset, so it was good.
And you were so incredibly blessed because you got to see me, so.
Yeah, that did happen. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, well, on today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, going to be talking about a new extension for the Bolts. Going to be going over a little game review, game preview after commercial break. Talk about some news from around the league. And then we do got to talk about the old World Junior Championship. We are currently in the semifinals. Hopefully USA takes it over Canada tonight, but I'm going to be honest, I'm not too confident. But before we hop into all that, let's talk about Nick Perbix as he gets a nice two-year extension here in Tampa.
Yep, 2 years, 2.5 or 2.25 million, excuse me, over those years. So it's a 1.125 a year. I mean, kids earned it. He's been playing really well. He's stepped up, really filled a nice role for us. And it's, you know, a little unexpected. I was hoping he could be in an NHL, obviously, down the road. Maybe he was going to need a little more work this year, but he's really done really well. He's stepped up, so it's well-deserved. It's good to see, and who knows? I know it's only a two-year deal, but maybe starting next year, this could already look like a little bit of a steal for a team that's trying to make a couple more playoff pushes.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't expect, you know, the world out of him, but giving him a two-year extension already shows that he's proven himself to the front office, and you love to see it. Little game review, game preview, Chase. I figured we can just start at the new year. We've played one game since 2023 has hit. We'll start Tampa Bay versus Chicago. It was a good win for us. We start the new year right as we go up 4-1.
Yeah, sorry. My app's going horribly slow. I was trying to get it pulled up, but it's just being a butt. But I got it open now. We're good. Yeah, it was a nice outing. It was really a good way to start the year. On the road, you know, the first of a back-to-back, first of 3 and 4 days. So it's nice to get a win, you know, because playing that many games in a couple of days, it's not easy. So you just when you can kind of get off on the right foot in case, you know, like game three of those 4 days ends up being a little bit rougher for you, it's good to have a cushion. It wasn't a high, you know, event game. Like there was 5 goals, but it wasn't like it was some just shot after shot type of affair. It was good to see Patty Maroon get on the board. I thought he had a solid day. Brandon Hagel played very well. It's nice that we can see those guys kind of get rolling and rolling some more too. And it was good for Brandon Hagel. He ended up picking up 2 points in this game, if I'm not mistaken, against his old team, which that, you know, that helps me feel even better too. But he's really been playing a lot better this year. Underwhelmed slightly last year for us, but I'm happy with the strides that he's making. But just, you know, so like. He still could be scoring more, or don't get me wrong, but nonetheless, the strides he's making, they've been good. So hopefully he keeps that rolling. Kind of can take the team keep taking the momentum from this game, keep trying in the right direction.
Yeah, and our most surprising player from last year, Nick Paul, he continues to play very well for us. Again, not a guy that we're expecting just a multitude of points out of, but currently sitting at 14 goals. That's something you love to see out of a depth player that has really looked good on this Tampa Bay Lightning team.
Yeah, man, he's just kind of like a perfect fit. Obviously, losing Yanni Gord, Andre Palat, Barclay Gaudreau, those types of guys, it's tough. They really filled our team. They complemented our team so well. But to go get Nick Paul and have him perform how he has, it's really a breath of fresh air between him. Brandon Hagel's 30 points in the year. You know, Nick Paul's at 22. Like these guys are playing really well. I can't, you know, I think Brandon Hagel has enough hockey ability where he could be eventually a super high scoring guy in this league for quite a few years. Nick Paul never really expected this, especially, you know, he's kind of in his prime, but he's really stepping up. He's playing great. So hopefully he can kind of keep this rolling, because this is just a huge piece to have when you get to the playoffs. That this type of scoring with the way he plays, it's awesome.
And this win puts the Bolts on a 4-game win streak, 8-2-0. And their last 10. We've got a game against Minnesota tonight. Obviously, by the time this episode comes out, you'll already know the outcome, so we're not going to preview that. But let's just say we're hoping for a 5-game win streak after that. And if that's the case, then we go into Winnipeg on Friday, a team that's been sneaky good. They've been underrated, and that's thanks to Connor Hellebuck, one of the best goalies in the world.
If you want to be good at hockey, just have the name Connor somewhere, because... Yeah, Connor Hellebuck is a great goaltender. Has some ups and downs, but at the end of the day, he is a great goaltender. They have Kyle Connor, who is one of the league's most premier forwards, one of the better scorers in the league. Of course, you got Connor McDavid, Connor Bedard, all these guys. So if you want to be good at hockey, just have the name Connor somewhere.
What about Connor Garland?
What's that?
Connor Garland?
He was awesome in junior.
True.
But anyway... I'm interested to see how this one goes, because, you know, it is a 3rd and 4, as I mentioned, so it is a lot, but it should be a fun matchup. Victor Hedman is rolling at the moment. He's been playing really well, so this big game where he really needs to kind of help neutralize Kyle Connor, and we really need to see Stammer, need to see Kucherov, Brayden Point. We need to see these guys kind of step up, really pepper Hellebuck, kind of see if you can get him shelled a little bit early, maybe sneak a couple in early, and just kind of take the game from there. This is one where it's better off if you're scoring early. It's just so you can kind of control what happens in the game from there. But you can still obviously play this one out and battle it. But I would love if Tampa could get an early lead. I think that's the best path to winning.
Yeah, and this Winnipeg team is totally different from 3 years ago. When I think of 3 years ago, I'm thinking this is a team that can score with the best of them, but they can't keep the puck out of the net because the defense is just atrocious on this Winnipeg team. Not the case any longer, as you know, they still have Kyle Connor and Scheifele, but Blake Wheeler's regressed, and we saw Patrick Laine go over to Columbus, and it's just this team doesn't have the same firepower as it used to, currently sitting average when you look at the power play goals for, but goals against, thanks to Connor Hellebuck and a revamped defense, this team's really keeping the puck out of the net.
You know, they got a guy in the back end that's not really, like, he's talked about, but he's really not talked about enough. That's Josh Morrissey. I mean, 43 points in 38 games. He's a lot more of an offensive threat than he is like a defensive guy, but he's definitely not lost out there defensively. And he's been rolling this year, over a point per game on a team that's playing well. It's super cool to see. You know, he does a really good job complimenting, you know, some of the other D-men on his team, like the Brendan Dillons, the Neil Pionks, the Dylan DeMellos, those guys that kind of, you know, I mean, like going on, Neil Pionks been a bit more offensive guy, but he's been playing well too. But those guys play more two-way, more defensive, so to have them kind of work with the hell's his name, Morrissey, it really provides for a good mix from that back end.
Absolutely, and we're hoping that we can come out of these next two games with wins that would put us on a six-game win streak, our largest win streak of the season. So looking forward to that, but after the commercial break, we're going to be looking forward to talking about some World Juniors. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame moneyline on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. If you have any sports betting needs, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Chase, let's talk about a couple more extensions. We talked about Perbix, but around the league, we've got Joe Pavelski and Jimmy Vesey.
Yeah, so starting off with Jopa, 1 year, $3.5 million with two incentives, 10 games get $1 million, 20 games get another $1 million, and I would assume both those are going to happen. So this is a great signing. I mean, Pavelski's been playing great into these latter years of his career. Really fits what this Dallas team is doing, a team that's been, you know, playing pretty well this year. So I think that's a good grab for them at that price. And then Jimmy Vesey, 2 years, 1.6 total, so $800K a year. He's been playing better in the NHL. Still not a big fan of his game. Still triggered that he got the Hobie Baker over our former classmate Kyle Connor. Not gonna lie, the guy scored like 25 more points than him when he was a freshman. But it's beside the point. He's kind of revived his career a little bit. He's playing a lot better, getting a little more trustworthy. So you know, good for him.
Yeah, and I think Jimmy Vesey was the guy that came off the bench for Alexis Lafreniere, as Alexis Lafreniere got benched. What are your thoughts on that, Chase?
So, I'm not against, you know, having a young kid who's struggling kind of sit in the stands, watch a little bit, see if he can, you know, rebuild his confidence that way. But at the same time, I'd also rather see young kids play. And if you're going to set him for a game or two, like, that's fine. But if it's going to, you know, be extended, you either got to send the kid down or see if you can get what you consider a good enough haul in a trade. And I wouldn't sell him for cheap. Still a very talented player, still a first overall pick, still young. I wouldn't be like, oh, just give me 2 second-round picks when we move on. No, I still need, like a decent return. So I don't imagine that's happening. I would just send him to the American League, let him get some games in there, let him get that confidence back, get a little bit of scoring going, and he could step up and start playing good again. But to just leave him sitting and not really give him much ice time, I don't think that's good for his development. And the Rangers are horrible at player development, by the way.
Yeah, they might be the worst team in the NHL when it comes to player development. I mean, you look at all their top guys, Vitaly Kravtsov, Alexi Lafreniere, like we mentioned, Kaapo Kakko, like all of these guys just not getting to the point they need to be, as well as Elias Anderson, who they eventually traded. Like, this team, this organization, just hasn't been able to turn these high draft picks into actual good NHL players. And I think it's time to start looking in the development program and really move some stuff up there.
Yeah, it's got to get figured out, because there's just a lot of talent that's going there and not working out. The guys that you see work out are already kind of either fairly progressed products or finished products that they kind of took in. Like Shesterkin, they left over in the KHL developed for years. Panarin, they acquired. Zibanejad, they acquired. Jacob Trouba, they acquired. Adam Fox, they acquired. All these guys were, you know, acquired players, and that's fine if that's how you're going to do things, but that means when you get a young guy in, you got to move them kind of quickly so you can keep getting these already established pieces. Like that's your only path here. If you keep trying to develop these guys and you do it your way that's not working, like, you're just kind of wasting value there.
Yeah. All right, well, let's not talk about Jacob Vrana as he clears waivers, formerly on Detroit, now in Grand Rapids. What are we thinking there?
So, really weird situation, because given the talent level, there's not a single team in the NHL that wouldn't want him on their roster. But only like 5 or 6 teams could afford him with the way his contract is right now, with the way their salary caps are. So the teams that could put a claim on him were pretty minimal. And then we see him go through without getting claimed at all. Just a few weeks ago, he was reinstated from the player assistance program, which can deal with mental health, substance abuse, whatever he's got going on. And that was good to see that he was able to recover and get the help that he needed. But it seemed like the Red Wings just didn't feel like he was ready enough. He needed some more time to kind of get back into shape. 2 weeks wasn't enough. And that can be understandable after being off for as many months as he was, really not getting any training done. So him passing through waivers maybe was the other teams in the league doing the Red Wings a favor and doing him a favor, not just trying to steal him when, you know, he just went through what was a very stressful, you know, different time in his life. Maybe that's the case. Maybe Steve Yzerman called around and asked if guys could just lay off on him. Or maybe for whatever reason, people just didn't want him. I don't know. But regardless, the whole situation, it's not really something that we see too often. This caliber player get sent down. I mean, I couldn't tell you last time that's really happened. So it's just a bit strange.
Yeah, hoping for the absolute best with Vrana, because this guy does have a ton of talent. I mean, when we first saw him break out with the Washington Capitals, we thought, hot damn, this guy's going to be a good player. And he has been for Detroit, but hopefully he can get back up soon, because I don't like to see players with this much talent down in the AHL.
Yes, agreed.
All right, Winter Classic, that happened. Chase, I know you and I didn't necessarily watch it. We saw some replays, but you were watching the football games. I was watching Avatar: The Way of Water. Great movie. But yeah, it happened. I personally stand by my statement that I liked the Penguins fit. I don't mind their yellow helmets whatsoever. I know you're still against them, but
horrible. Oh, just horrible. If the helmet was the same color as the pants and the gloves, I'm perfectly fine, but I'm a very big proponent on, if you're not going the same color for all three, then you have to go with like a white helmet. So if you're going, you know, black or blue, whatever, if you go with a white helmet, it's fine. You know, it is what it is. But to go with like a darker blue, black, whatever the hell it was, and then the yellow helmet, it did not look good. It looked terrible. I was in pain looking at it.
Yeah, see, that's where we got to respectfully disagree. But I think we could have some really nice Winter Classic jerseys next year.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen, as we're getting a Seattle Kraken, Vegas Golden Knights outdoor game in Seattle, which it's pretty cool. Yeah, I know there's some teams out there that haven't played in the Winter Classic yet that maybe they'd want to get into. But here's the thing. I kind of don't care about those teams that haven't played outdoor games yet, because it's a great, great plan, great idea for marketing these brand new teams that are still, you know, they still have fans that are happy. You know, like Vegas, they started off their first year hot, so they still got a great fan base. Seattle, they're still really kind of instituting or installing, I guess is the better word, themselves into the community, into the hockey community, to the Seattle community. And getting something like this it's a huge stride. And they're two teams that I like their branding overall. Vegas is, I didn't like it in the first place, but I've really grown on me, and I love Seattle's. So there could be some really cool things going. I'm going to have to guess that Seattle goes with the Metropolitans look. I don't know what the Vegas Golden Knights are going to do, but it's going to be a ton of fun when those start getting released.
Yeah, and it can be an exciting game too, because we got Shane Wright and we got Matty Beniers over on Seattle, and then we have the more established team led by Jack Eichel with Vegas. So I think this could be a very fun matchup, and then, I mean, like you said, the branding has been great so far.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's not talk about the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, so interesting situation here. Maple Leafs get a $100,000 fine for traveling on December 26th. So here's kind of what happened. There is kind of like a travel freeze, roster freeze, that kind of stuff within the NHL. A couple days before Christmas, and then the day after Christmas as well. It's just to kind of hopefully give players more time to spend with their families, you know, that type of stuff. But the second it hits December 27th, you're allowed to leave. And teams play on the 27th. You know, Toronto played a game on the 27th, and they didn't want to leave, you know, at like 12:30, get in later. And I think they're going to St. Louis and try to, you know, get less sleep and have their schedule change. So they left at 10:30. The league finds out. League fines them for that. And I think it's dumb. If you don't want guys, you know, teams traveling on the 26th, then don't have them play on the 27th, because to penalize the players by making them have less sleep time, or to penalize the teams by losing money, it's one or the other. Like, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, we talked about it in our group chat, or maybe was it just a one-on-one? I don't know. Yeah, we talked about it on Twitter. Just, it makes no sense. Like, what's the NHL doing here? You gotta, you know, if you don't want players traveling, don't play games. Simple as that.
Yes, agreed.
All right, finally, let's do a little World Junior Championship update. Like I said, big game tonight as we got the U.S. versus Canada. Would have loved to wait till the finals to play Canada, but we already know who's in the finals, and that's a team that's really surprised this year.
Yeah, dude, the Czechs, like, they're not just like some Cinderella story. They're just a flat-out good hockey team, and they beat Sweden to move on to the gold medal round, and Sweden just loves blowing it in these tournaments. I don't understand. They play so well in the prelims. Like, they have 4 losses in the last, like, 10 years, 20 years, whatever the hell it's been in the prelims. But they have no gold medals. Like, I don't know how this happens. It's crazy. And yet again, they're not going to get a gold medal. And they probably don't get bronze because they're playing either the U.S. or Canada. It's crazy. But nonetheless, we've got U.S.-Canada tonight. You guys will know the result, but I'm very excited for this game. But I also do have a bad feeling Connor Bedard might just put up about 4 points against the U.S. just for the hell of it. Like, this kid's just been tearing up this tournament. He's so good. It really makes you think, like, okay, maybe I want my team to sell every piece they have to try to go full send on trying to get Connor Bedard. And, you know, I've seen people try to minimize his impact, saying, oh, he's playing against bad teams and putting up all these points. Okay, do you think that Connor McDavid didn't play against bad teams? Do you think Jordan Eberle, who had the goal record, didn't play against bad teams? Like, do you think these guys just, everyone played star-studded NHL over rosters? No, they didn't. There's always bad teams. There's always teams that you can kind of put up a few points against. So trying to minimize him for playing better than those other guys is just stupid. It makes no sense to me. So we watched Skid play all tournament, and he's been dominant. And he's obviously the X factor here. I really hope that the U.S. can squeak by and, you know, go compete for that gold medal, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried. I can't lie. Connor Bedard sitting with 21 points. That's 10 above the next guy, that being Logan Cooley with 11. That's the scary part. Connor Bedard, absolutely electric. However, for the U.S., you got Logan Cooley, Jimmy Snuggerud, and Cutter Gauthier, who have been a fantastic first line for this U.S. team. So really interested to see what happens. I know when we look on the back end of the U.S., it hasn't been the best play, so we'll have to see what happens. But through the relegation rounds, or not the relegation rounds, excuse me, the preliminary rounds, the U.S. was really scaring me. I didn't think they really had much of a chance, but coming out and smacking Germany 11-1 in the quarterfinals, I'm feeling a little bit more confident, but still a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to feel at least a bit nervous, but it should be a fun game. And here's kind of what I hope happens. Right now, Bedard, sitting at 21 points. I want the U.S. to win this game. I want Connor Bedard to get 2 points, and then I want him to put up 9 points against Sweden in the bronze medal game so we can break the scoring record in this tournament, because like right now he's 10 points shy of the record. It's 31, and it'd be cool to see him break it, but that would probably mean he puts up like 5 points in this game, and I definitely don't want to see that. I want to see the U.S. move on.
Right. I'm really rooting for the U.S., and I don't know about you, Chase, but this Czech team, like you said, they're actually a good hockey team right now. It's not a Cinderella story. I don't know. This feels kind of like, you know, we've been missing Russia for a while. This feels like they could just be the Russia replacement as of now.
Yeah, they kind of are. And Russia's obviously going to always put a good team out in these tournaments, but the Czechs have just gotten kind of better year by year with hockey. I've seen it with the Slovaks as well. Obviously, when they were a combined nation, they were playing really well, but they split up, kind of, you know, didn't distribute the hockey talent evenly, but now it's kind of starting to get there, and the Czechs are in a really great spot right now. So it'd be cool to see them continue to develop this way. If they're getting more and more NHL draft picks by year, hopefully they can just keep it rolling.
All right, final question of the episode here for you. The Czechs, we know, are in the finals. We have no idea. Chase and I have no idea, obviously. You guys would know. But we've got no idea who's going to be in the finals with them, USA or Canada. Give me your winner with both teams making it, like in both scenarios. Do you think the Czechs can beat USA, but Canada dominates them, vice versa? What are we thinking?
Well, I don't think it's going to be domination either way around. If I had to say something, I think the odds of winning gold are as follows. Canada the most, Czechia second most, and then USA third most, which sucks, because it's hard to have a lot of faith in this US team coming into the tournament. The roster wasn't, you know, as much as you'd hope, and they kind of, you know, disappointed in some prelim play, could look a little better. So it's not gonna be easy for them. And Canada's just so good, and the Czechs are just rolling. So I would say it's probably in that order. If like, it's definitely not impossible the U.S. can win this, and it's definitely not impossible that the Czechs can't beat Canada, but I really can't say confidently that it's not going to happen in this gold medal game.
Well, we're crossing our fingers that the U.S. plays out of their minds in these next two games, but we're going to go to a quick hockey name of the day, and we'll end it after that. We got Stubby Clapp.
Yeah, man. So Stubby Clapp, he is a 1973-born Canadian who, you know, believe it or not, played in the WOHL, which is the Western Ontario Junior B League, on top of playing games in the MLB. He was a former professional baseball player on top of playing Junior B hockey. So he got I don't know what position he was, but I just found this on his Elite Prospects like yesterday. I was like, oh, this, like, they added a new player. Like, who the hell is this? And then I click on him and found this kind of fact. It's pretty cool. But right now he's currently a coach, and it's just kind of cool to see that he went from playing juniors for hockey, you know, not a crazy high level, but still junior hockey, and he ended up going to play professional baseball. It's kind of a cool transition.
Yeah, that is cool. You don't necessarily always see baseball and hockey as the translation. I mean, you see football players and baseball players intermixing. You see some football players and some basketball players intermixing. But hockey and baseball, it's been a while since I've heard one of those.
Yeah, I agree. And this guy is 5'8", was playing in the late 80s, early 90s. And even though he's 5'8", in those, let's see how what the exact total was, if I can get it for you. So 122 games in the league, had 466 penalty minutes. So a bit of a feisty guy. So yeah. I don't know how he could keep his cool on the baseball diamond, but found a way to make it work, I guess.
He's like you, Chase. Not the biggest dog, but very feisty one.
Hey, I'm 6'4".
All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you would, hit him with an outro.
As always, like, thank you guys for listening. If you want to, you know, go support us on Patreon, that'd be great. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're ready, go follow WNP on Twitter, WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure you go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. You can find all the podcast network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. We really appreciate it. Wherever you do not forget to use code THPN. It's time for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. Talk to you next time.